Hi, this is the Aquilting Life podcast for Monday, March 29th. I'm Chelsea Stratton from Chelsea Stratton Designs.
And I'm Sherry McConnell from Aquilting Life.
And we're so happy to be here again with you. Today, this is a bonus episode. So we had three Mondays this month. So we're excited to squeeze another one in.
Exactly. And we're actually taping this just a few days before. So it's very close to airtime.
Yes.
Yeah. So we are super excited. Is this the first podcast we've got the new quilts?
Yes. Yeah. We showed fabric last time.
That's right. We had the... Right. So, we'll just get right with it. On the wall is heartstrings with our new Sincerely Yours fabric collection.
So cute.
I love it. It is a fat eighth quilt, but I was actually sharing a little bit about it today for a virtual quilt market presentation, and I reminded all of them that you can use fat quarters as well, and you just would only need half as many.
Yes.
So, fat quarters or fat eighths. And it's just really fun. I love how the colors just kind of run into each other in the chain that goes through the quilt. And also the large squares just really show off all the prints. So
yeah, I actually really like that in a quilt where you can just show everything off.
Yeah.
Great use of fabric. And also this quilting is so good. Did Val do this?
Val did the custom quilting on this one.
It's so, so pretty.
Yeah.
So pretty.
Really fun. And then on the table is Foursquare 2. This is an on-point quilt. If you've never made an on-point quilt before, this is the one you want to start out with because there's actually no sashing with this.
Yeah.
So it really saves time, and you can use a layer cake or charm packs. And then over here behind me is the homebody wall hanging, and that has been really fun. I actually already have plans to make a Christmas version.
Oh, yay!
And a fall version. And so this will be the Valentine kind of springy version. And,
yeah.
But yeah, lots more versions will be coming with that. So
I love the no sashing thing with this because I even had to like double take because it tricks me sometimes, like looking at it. But I love that. And then also having a smaller project to do is so refreshing.
Yeah.
Like, and it's something, you know, you can just hang up on your wall. And so I love that. And I love that you're going to do different renditions of it for, you know, different holidays.
Yeah, thank you. And then over behind Chelsea is that is the Daydream quilt.
I love this one too.
It's also on point. It does have sashing though, but we have a video for that. So, kind of a unique lover's knot kind of block on that one. And there's also a table runner that comes in that pattern. The block is sized smaller for the table runner.
I saw that in the catalog.
So, and I guess I didn't bring it in here, but we'll pop up a picture of the table runner. So
I also kind of want to talk about like the theme we have going on here because I walked into the podcast room and there's like pink and purple. Mom's wearing a pink sweater. Lots of pink today, guys. We're celebrating the color pink.
Yeah, I got lots of pink in the mail this week. This stand in the middle of the table.
I have the aqua one.
Yeah,
super
we both
cute
have
as well.
I feel like this is a new color. The folks at Fat Quarter Shop just sent me this, and I thought, oh, it's so fun because it will look so cute on the table with the fabric. And also somebody commented on one of the last podcasts that if we had a stand like this, we could show pictures of patterns and things like that during the podcast. So we'll have to remember to bring it in. And on the stand is a copy of Quilters World magazine. And I put it on the stand there because there's an article about Chelsea and I in there. And so if any of you wanted to get that magazine, we were really honored that they asked to write the article about us. And so put that there so you can see. And then the other two things on the table. So I moved my office, and the office is now part of this podcast room. And so I bought this white desk organizer. No, I bought the blush one over there for the office. And
then so pretty.
I realized it would work for quilting stuff, so I bought a white one. And so it is so wonderful. I have the white one in my sewing room.
They're cute and functional.
And there, the little compartments down below kind of adjust a little bit, so you could.
Oh, cool. They're just,
it's perfect for office supplies, but I love having this on my quilting table.
Yeah, I think I have to buy the blush one for my girls.
Oh, yeah. That would be
so many things room. They could put in there. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll put a link to that. So, yeah, it's either we have nothing to share or we have.
Yeah, seriously. We're like crowding things on the bunch table. Of things. This is what we have to show you.
Yeah. So, okay. So we have some great listener questions, like we mentioned, left over from last time.
There were a lot. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we got through quite a few, but we're really grateful for all of the listener questions. And yeah, so thank you, everyone.
Yeah.
Gives us things to talk about.
So should we just kind of start with number one then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So number one is, what are you both looking forward to doing most this year as COVID restrictions lift, both for relaxing and business? I mean, I don't think we know exactly how things will play out, but posing the question, you know, if things, if restrictions are lifted, I feel like I don't know. It's honestly strange to hear that question because we've lived an entire year of like not. And so I don't even know. I would say for business, I really miss Quilt Market. And I think that has been kind of something we all miss as designers and just as a community of quilter shop owners in that area of the business. I miss that a lot. And I would love to be able to go to Houston this year. I don't really know what's planned for that, but it might be even longer, which makes me sad. We've had some virtual quilt markets. So I think as far as business, going and traveling to shops, Mom and I did that before. I miss that, meeting people there. That's kind of what I miss, business. Personal, my husband and I had plans to go to Hawaii last year for our anniversary, and our anniversary is coming up again this Saturday. And we're like, whoa, remember when we were going to go to Hawaii? And so, yeah, maybe someday I'll make it to Hawaii, you guys. Yeah. But right now, I don't know.
Yeah. I kind of the same thing that you are saying for work, for business. I just really can't wait till we're able to have Quilt Market again. I think that, so we've missed three in a row.
So
that's a lot of quilt markets. Mm-hmm. And that's
just part of the schedule for us. And so not being able to go, and then it going like, oh, well, another one and another one. It kind of, the realization of it all was like, whoa, okay.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. So I haven't heard anything yet about
me neither.
October. So, hopefully October, but if not, a year from now, for sure, maybe, hopefully. Yeah,
I know.
So, yeah, and then personally, I really miss eating out. And so my husband and I just started watching this show on Netflix. I can't remember what it's called. It's like Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat or something like that. It's a cooking show. I hope I'm not misspeaking anything. We've just watched one episode.
Yay, Billy has the internet.
But we watched the episode on fat, and she talks about how fat flavors food in all of these different ways. And she went to Italy, and she made pasta, and she showed all of the different kinds of cheeses and how you make Parmesan. I'm just so
hungry right now.
I really want to go to a really nice Italian restaurant.
Yeah, there's still lots of restrictions on restaurants right now.
It is. You were right. Salt, fat, acid, heat.
What in the
world?
So I can't wait to watch the next episode. The next episode is on salt. The first one was on fat, and so episode two. And she's just really... she wrote a book by the same title, I guess, and then has done the original Netflix series. But anyway, so I guess.
Let me guess, you're going to buy it.
Eating out. Well, no, first I want to finish watching all the episodes, but my husband likes it too. He likes to cook. So he loves to cook. We really enjoyed that. So
yeah.
What about teaching classes? Is that something you look forward to getting back into?
Yeah, I miss that.
I miss that just because I've... both experiences of mine have been with you. Mm-hmm. And the first time I was very nervous, and I realized very quickly what an experience that is to meet women who all come from different backgrounds and, you know, walks of life. And just hearing their stories was most valuable to me about their life. So I do miss that. And our second class up in Logan was just so fun. Like, yeah. I mean, what a blast that was.
Yeah. And you were going to teach something on your own this fall, and then it got canceled.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Yeah. I know.
So, yeah. Teaching definitely.
I was ready for it at that point too. I was ready to kind of take the reins. Whereas before I was like watching you so closely. I feel like, as soon as I got confident, it was like shutting down, but...
So, yeah, that was a fun question to answer.
Yeah, I love that.
Okay, number two says, how are you both getting on with your challenges for the year? I think Chelsea said she was going to try curved piecing. Sherry, I know you wanted to challenge yourself with something too, but she couldn't remember what my challenge was. So,
as far as curved piecing, that hasn't happened yet, but I know it will. So that's still to come, and yeah. I'll probably blog about my experience, and it'll probably be hilarious. So,
So it was funny because the person who sent in this question, she kind of apologized for not remembering what my challenge was. And I was like, I don't remember what my challenge was either, but luckily I had written it down. So, but the good thing was too, I had most of the things I challenged myself with were organizational and time management, but the sewing things that I had in here, I wrote down Q3. And I'm so glad because I knew I was going to be super busy the first 6 months of this year.
Yeah.
And so Q3, I knew that I would have free time at that point.
Yeah.
And one of those that I had, if I hadn't written it down and I hadn't looked it up, I do still want to make the cheddar quilt. And that will happen sometime this summer. So
I really like that you broke it into quarters, because I was just telling Mason about that the other day. I always have this idea like, yeah, well then I'll have, once I finish this, I'll be free. Like I won't have another thing, you know, I'll have, but really like the first 6 months of this year really are so busy for us. Mm-hmm. There's a lot going on. So yeah.
Yeah. I heard an interesting podcast the other day about that, and they said you got to quit telling yourself that after I finish this that it's gonna, because it's always that you're always
this is gonna, you're always gonna have something.
But then I also read or listened to you can do it all, but you have to define what all is.
I need this, tell me more.
So
what is all, mom?
What is all, you know? And you have to decide like, I'm going to do it all, but then you have to define so that you can do it all.
I see what you're saying. See what I'm saying? You decide what all is.
Yes.
My brain is exploding right now.
So
this is what I needed.
I don't want to not give credit to the person who I got this idea from.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to go home tonight and write a new.
Cite your sources, right?
What I know.
It's all.
Cite myself, cite my sources. I might have to. Oh. Here it is. It's the Lazy Genius podcast. That's where I got it from.
Okay, I'm writing this down.
So these are the three things she said in that podcast that I wrote down. What you believe affects your time more than your schedule. I thought that was really profound. What you believe affects your time more than your actual schedule. And then she said, you can do it all if you decide what all means. And then her third piece of advice, this was a podcast on like time management, I think, was do what is necessary before it becomes urgent. So, because you're never going to feel stress if you're not doing something last minute, right?
My mind is blown because you know how like we both talk, we're like, you can't have it all. You can't do it all, because really like, You know, you're raising kids, you're doing laundry, you're running a full-time business, you're, you know, but really when you rephrase it,
right,
you can
do it all if you're the one making the decision what all means.
Anything is possible, guys, if you just believe.
So
What's the name of the podcast again?
It's the Lazy Genius Podcast. Yeah, and she's on Instagram, and she also has a book, The Lazy Genius Way. And I actually gave the book to your sister because...
I'm going to call her I need it. She'll give it to me.
The book, loves me. I was able to kind of, you know, glean what I needed from the book. And as I was reading it, I kept thinking, oh, this would really be good for my girls. But she was here... And so I was like, oh, take this home with you. So anyway, y'all guys will have to both read that book.
I also love do what is necessary before it becomes urgent. Because here's the thing. There's so many things. Like I make a list, you know, and sometimes you do. You're like, well, I could save that for later because it's big and it's daunting and it's going to take up a lot of my time.
Right.
But just clear it off your table and then it never becomes an issue.
Right.
Like take care of it.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so inspiring.
I can link the episode in our show notes.
Okay. Oh, cool.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. I was really stressed Monday and I listened to all these podcasts and they really calmed me down. And that was one of the...
That's what I'm gathering. A lot of people actually think podcasts are calming. I know someone who works out while listening to podcasts and I'm like, how do you do that?
Yeah.
I need some pumped up music and they're like, no, it really is the best. Like, have to try that.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So number three, that's yours.
Number three. Oh, it is mine. Chelsea, how are you? I feel very on the spot. Chelsea, how are you getting on with doing a community quilt along? Well, not so great, but no, I'm supposed to be doing the 9-patch one. Yours. But as far as socialites, I'm doing pretty good. Uh-huh. So I'm all like, I have mine done and a few others. I feel like not as well as I could be, but we'll get there.
Don't you think like after June, we're both working on a lot of things that will be done by then.
That's also what I was telling my husband the other day. I'm like, there's a couple deadlines we have that are like collaborative together. Mm-hmm. And that goes next on my list. And then I'm also designing a new fabric line. Those things have to come first before these other things. So that's exactly how I felt up until June. Like there's a lot of necessary work that has actual deadlines.
Right.
So yes, I will get to it. But the first 6 months has kind of been very boom, boom, boom. Like a lot of stuff has been actually due.
Right.
So I have to hit the deadlines first.
Guys. Exactly. And I feel like for both of us, the second half of the year should hopefully be a little bit smoother, lighter on the deadlines.
I'm so excited.
Okay, this next one, this actually affected me just yesterday. Can you speak about the risk in waiting to purchase yardage or more pre-cuts when you find a fabric collection you love? Also, how long does a fabric company typically produce a line or a collection? So I'm going to tell a little story to go along with this one because I got my March Sew Sampler box and this is airing... Yeah, I can say what it is because this is airing on the 29th.
Yeah.
So it had some of the new Springbrook Cori Yoder fabric in it, two charm packs. Great Sew Sampler box. And the colors, I hadn't seen this in person, and the colors, they're beautiful.
Yeah, it's very pretty.
Yeah, and so I immediately thought of how I was going to use those charm packs. I thought of a project, and I thought, I want to get the pieces I want to go with it. And I had to look around because that fabric's only been out a few weeks, right?
Yep.
Some of it's already gone. And so I went to Fat Quarter Shop first and they didn't have everything that I wanted. And so then I went to Etsy. That's, you know, and that's what I always tell people who are looking for our fabric too, you know. So anyway, I was able to get what I wanted, but on two of the little pieces, and I was only getting, you know, half yards here, yard there, but some of them were almost sold out. It said, you know, 1.5 yards left is all. And so, so that is a great question. Since the pandemic, since COVID-19, fabric moves quickly and you should not wait and you should get what you want when you find it. And if you really love something, get a few extra pre-cuts, get a few extra border cuts because, I mean, our Balboa fabric is pretty much gone.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
If you're a shop owner and you're listening and you have a good selection of Balboa, if you would message us, that would be great, because
yeah,
we're getting emails and
as we don't know where to send them yeah, all the time.
Right.
Yeah, because you just don't know. Right. I was going to, everything you said is spot on. I mean, and if you're able to, you know, secure a pre-order on something you know you're going to love and use, you know, that's important too. But it really does. The sales period for it, you know, I can't speak for every company, you know, but for us, there's a little window where it's being sold. And
right.
Then once they have that amount of yardage, that's the amount they send in to be put in for order. And right. So there's nothing really companies can do if, you know, if it sells out. And so,
right.
Yeah, get it when you can. And if you really love it, really, you know, because if you really love it that much, then yeah, definitely I feel like it's a good decision to invest in something that you really adore. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So luckily I was able to find the Springbrook yardage that I wanted and it's already shipped. It's on its way to me. I'm super excited. So,
I'm happy for you.
Yeah. It's a pretty collection.
And it's beautiful.
I had only seen it in the catalog and I liked it in the catalog too, but when I saw it in person, it was just, I fell yeah. in love with it.
There's always slight adjustments from the catalog for sure. Even on social media, you know, like right. it's right. just different in person.
Yeah.
Obviously, when we share a fabric, we keep it as true, you know, right. obviously for the photography. So,
right. Yeah. And then just the last part of her question said, also, how long does a fabric company typically produce a line or a collection? And Chelsea pretty much answered that. Basically, there's a set amount for Moda yeah. that is produced. It's very rare that they reprint a collection. Mm-hmm. I can think of a couple that they've done recently. Jen Kingwell, one of hers was reprinted, and then the fig tree, the Halloween.
Oh, yes.
I think they reprinted that and then she
All
came
Hallows
out.
Eve.
Yeah, I think yeah. they reprinted and then she came out with a sister collection to mm-hmm. it. But yeah, basically, usually there's just one run. So get yeah. what you want.
Definitely.
So.
Okay. So I know. Okay. You're going to take the lead on this question. So I'll read it to you. Okay. Number five, I would like to know some basics for using sashings, particularly how do you make sure your blocks stay lined up across the row? What resources do you recommend for learning how to do sashings? And from another listener, do you have tips for making sure the cornerstone/posts on the borders line up? It seems like borders are almost never totally accurate since it's such a long seam. So I'm struggling to get them to be sure they land where they should, even despite accurate measurements.
Yeah. And then the next question actually was from a third person.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah. Is there any specific reason of why you sash blocks or when to sash different quilt blocks? So I'm actually going to answer that one first.
Okay.
So I feel like when I'm designing a quilt, I will use a sashing if I want to just have some like open space mm-hmm. around the block. But sometimes I will do it also if there are lots of seams that end up around those outer edges.
Yeah.
To where if there are lots of like star points, sometimes are hard to put right next to each other because the points are meeting and the fabric gets really bulky. And so by putting a sashing in, you give a place for those points to lie flat. Does that
sound? No, that totally makes okay. sense.
So
that's
so,
what I would do.
Yeah. So that's kind of the answer to that question. That's kind of the reason why I would add sashing for yeah. those two reasons, to set off the block or to prevent just a whole bunch of convoluted seams coming together.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you do that anyway, just because it looks really cool not to have the sashing. But
yeah.
But okay. So then the next part, how do you make sure your blocks stay lined up across the row? The first thing I'm going to say about that is, and because this has happened to me, make sure that all the sashing pieces, wait to cut your sashing pieces until you've sewn your blocks.
That was going to be my tip.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because sometimes if your blocks are a little bit off and if they're all off the same amount,
yeah,
you can adjust the sashing and solve that problem.
Yeah. So you can guarantee it by waiting.
Right.
Yeah.
Another thing is just make sure everything's accurately cut. I have a quilt that I did that I just had a hard time. I don't know. And I realized later that a bunch of the pieces weren't cut correctly. So make sure all of the sashing pieces are cut to the exact same size. And the same thing with the posts. But my number one tip would be that I pin when I add sashings. So the quilt behind me, you know, it has lots of little squares. And I would pin here and here. And maybe one pin in the middle. But I just feel like, especially when you're dealing with those long rows like this person wrote about, you know, there's weight that's going to carry that. And if you don't have it pinned, then it's really hard to keep it accurate.
Exactly. There's just, I do those exact same things. I wait to cut my sashings. I make sure they're the exact same length as the blocks. And you might say I'm a crazy pinner because I literally am pinning like everywhere. I want to make sure they stay exactly where they're supposed to stay. Like when you're sewing and you don't pin them, there's just so much that can happen up until you get where those seams should match.
Right.
And if you don't pin them securely in place, things can shift. Things easily shift in a quilt. So, that's what I was going to say too.
Yeah. And then I think sometimes when there are posts, that sometimes makes it easier to line everything up. It's those quilts that are sashed without any posts.
Yeah.
That sometimes it's harder. And so what I actually do when I'm sewing one of those quilts where there aren't the posts, I will kind of take the block below and line it up with the block above and pin. And I will do that all the way across because in those cases, it can actually be harder than when you have these posts to kind of guide you.
Line you up.
Right.
Exactly where it needs to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was going to agree with you the same thing. Sashings, for me, they create space. And so if I want people to focus on, you know, blocks with a little, you know, give the block space.
Right.
And so that's one reason why I will do it. So, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully that helps.
Yeah.
And she said, what resources? It's really a lot of practicing. And just waiting to get those measurements and pinning. So
pinning is winning, guys.
Yeah. And I'm not a pinner. I don't like to pin if I don't have to.
Oh, I love it.
Do you?
Oh, I love it.
But I always pin with sashing.
I just don't love losing a pin. So that's what I don't.
That's bad.
I have kids. It gets crazy.
Right. Right. Okay. So this next one. This was really interesting to me because, did we answer this before?
No, we didn't.
Okay, I think I just read it initially and then read it again this week. But she said she was watching a video by a sewing machine repair person, and they commented that chain piecing is actually hard on the machine because of the machine going over the teeth without fabric for a few stitches, but a lot of times. Have you ever had challenges with your machines due to chain piecing? And I thought that was so interesting.
Yeah, me too.
I had never heard that before.
Me neither.
But when I chain piece, I butt those things right up next to each other.
Same here.
I don't think I'm sewing over nothing.
Yeah,
very much. Yeah.
That's how I am. I'm like, I'm not going to waste my thread. Exactly. I am going to get it like right there.
Yeah.
And so this question kind of caught me off guard because I'm like, oh, like,
right.
But my sewing machine never really is. I'm not ever sewing unless
there's fabric.
Yeah, I really do butt it up right up against the other one. Like,
right.
You know, and then just afterwards go in and clip that right in between. I've never had an issue. So,
right.
Yeah, but that was really interesting when I read that. I'm like, oh my goodness, I've never heard that before.
It was a very interesting question. I also use the needle down function so that I can stop, when I stop sewing, my needle is down, holding things in place, and I can have that other piece that I'm going to chain piece ready to put right up next to it.
Yeah.
So the needle down function, I feel like, really helps with that too. But yeah, that was a great
question. That was a really good question.
My machine really needs cleaning.
Mine does too, and I'm afraid because the last time I brought my machine in, the guy sent back a note. And he's like, this is the worst machine I've ever seen. And I'm like, well, I'm not surprised it was me. Like, yeah. Are we surprised?
The maintenance guy did?
Yeah, the maintenance guy did.
Wow.
He's kind of a funny guy.
Yeah, he's so, yeah.
He's very kind.
He's very kind. But mom brought it back and she's like, he left a note for you. And I'm like, oh my goodness. Wow.
He puts everything he finds inside in a baggie and he tapes it.
So he sent me back the bag with all of the threads and things he found inside of it, like as a here you go.
That's awesome.
He's cool.
I can just tell. I after every five bobbins, I clean out my machine and kind of put a drop of oil in and get all the lint out. But I can tell it needs to go into the shop.
We should go together.
Yes, we should.
So does that question scare you guys at all? Or do you think it's because of the technique you use is going to prevent that?
Yeah, that's what I would say.
I would say that, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that we
I'm not worried about it.
Yeah. Yeah. But maybe I will ask this guy next time I go in. He's really good. He's out of town and
he is awesome.
If I call the shop ahead of time, they'll usually do it while I'm there so I don't have to make another trip to come pick it up. So yeah.
Okay. So as a beginner, I'm really struggling to buy fabrics online and I'm hoping you have some tips on ensuring the fabric you order is the same in person as it looks online. Given that a lot of patterns are made with fabrics that you can no longer find or purchase, I'm really struggling to coordinate fabrics and get true representation online. And we kind of answered this. You know, there's obviously going to be slight changes with things that you see online. I do feel like most are accurate representations, but I agree. It can be hard, you know, if you're not, especially now, with COVID restrictions, you can't just, you know, waltz into every shop. You know, there's, if you can, that's great. Like if you have a local quilt shop, that is always awesome because you can get right up close and personal with the fabrics. But yeah. I do feel like most companies really do try to give an accurate representation of the fabrics.
I feel like a lot of online shops and your local brick and mortar shops are always willing to match something for you.
Yes, that's so true too.
You
can,
whether you're shopping, you know, your brick and mortar, they might help you find something in the store, or you could call them and they could recommend something. And I feel like a lot of online shops, you can call them if they have a customer service number, or you could also email them. I know when we were at Fat Quarter Shop, we saw some of the customer service team,
and
it was amazing to me how many members of that team were there just taking phone calls and helping people
matching. So hardworking and such a good system. And
So, and I mean, that's not sponsored or anything. That's just something that we saw when we were there.
They're very interactive with their customers. And I feel like really shops are like all, I think, online shops. Yeah. They're really, you know, interactive with, you know, customers that are buying from them. They want to give you the best experience. So,
And your brick and mortar,
from what I've seen,
same thing.
Yeah.
So the other thing I would suggest is if the fabric's available, try to find a mini charm pack. Those aren't very expensive and you can get all the prints there. And also a lot of designers will post about what solids go with their collection. Mm-hmm. You could order small pieces of those, quarter yards, or
most designers sell their mini charms too, so that you can get, you know, a little piece of everything in the line.
Right. So those are a few ideas to maybe get a little bit and and get those.
Can I throw a curveball at you?
Sure. With this one? We love your curveballs.
I notice a lot of times in comments though, and maybe I don't know if you guys have an answer for it. So, but people who are out of overseas, out of the country, I see a lot of comments where people either with patterns or fabric. I mean, do you guys have any solutions for them? I feel bad when I see that.
I feel bad too.
Yeah,
it's
or the shipping fees are really big. Yeah, I've heard them see that. So
that is so true. I'm glad you brought that up because shipping is outrageous,
And it's only going up.
It's only going up.
Yeah,
and I know. I see those comments, and sometimes people will email me and, why don't you ship? And is it because of the cost? And it's like, And a couple times I've talked with some people in Canada a few times, and maybe they have family members in the United States, and they can have it shipped there and then they can pick it up. But it's just really tough. So I know Fat Quarter Shop does ship overseas, but I don't know anything. A lot of the
independent Etsy shops don't.
A lot of the independent probably are less likely.
With patterns, PDF, though, I mean, that's fine, right?
Right.
And that's what's so nice about the PDFs is, I mean, you can, that's so much easier. But also, I saw someone commented, I really hope my shop gets your fabric line, in the UK. And I'm like, I hope they do too. We have, there's reps, over there. So.
And with that being said, really, shops would appreciate it if you let them know what you like.
Yeah.
If you see something on social media, say, I really hope you'll order this, or can you order me a Fat Quarter bundle?
Yeah.
Or, to make sure that you get your shop owners, because I feel like they're more than willing to order something if they know somebody is going to want that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, but it is tough to get the, and just like I just mentioned with the question earlier, the colors in that fabric in the So Sampler box were, I loved them even more in person.
Yeah.
So,
Fabric's always better in person.
Yeah. So, and then we have one more fabric question, then we have a fun question, but this one is also about color. How do you determine what colors will be in a new fabric collection since you are creating it so far in advance?
I'm going to be honest. When I read this question, I'm like, it's often a surprise to me sometimes. Like, I will call mom and be like, hey, what do we think about this? And, text her pictures of things. But what I find through it all is we have a palette. We've now, what are we on our 13th fabric collection? Mm-hmm. We have kind of worked with a lot of colors and really seen what we love and what works well together. And because we've built a nice little base, we're able to go through that palette and put together a new fun palette that works seamlessly, as well as seamlessly with all of our other collections. But it really, once you have, mom has said it before, once we have the color, everything falls into place. And so the palette really is important. It's just sometimes, like with Sincerely Yours, we wanted to do something totally, totally different, even with Balboa.
Right.
And it worked and we loved it and customers seemed to love it. And, so yeah, sometimes it's a surprise and, but a lot of times we're pulling from older collections and working with that. So,
Also we, lost my train of thought for a second, but we have gotten lucky a couple of times where we had a color in our collection that ended up to be the Pantone color of the year that year. Has it happened like twice?
It's happened like twice.
Or three times?
Yeah.
And we had no idea. We just got lucky. And so I'm sure some people thought, wow, they were really inspired and they knew what the Pantone, but no, we it was total luck.
Got lucky.
So that has happened a couple times and that was fun. But just basically what Chelsea said. Sometimes we look at it as a whole, like what color haven't we worked with in a while that we might want to bring back or that we might need more of.
And we're actually talking about that for the next fabric collection. Right. I'm like, hey, I miss those colors.
Right.
Let's go back to that.
Right.
But put a twist on it.
Exactly.
So.
And so we try not to have anything be too identical.
Yeah.
Always have maybe some things that we'll pull, but then add something else.
Yeah.
So.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so this last question that
Mom's excited about this.
I'm so excited about this. So I listened to my friend Kristen, and we've never met in person, but I just feel like I just love listening to her podcast, Simple Handmade Everyday Podcast. And she talks about quilting and Netflix and household things. And anyway, she had some listener questions, and I love this one. And so I thought that the three of us could all answer it, Chelsea and Billy and me. And it was, the question was, if calories were of no importance, what kinds of food would you indulge in?
Oh my goodness.
So
you are going to think I'm so strange.
Okay. Well, you go first.
I went to the store today because I had to grab, some things, and I just was feeling the cravings so bad. And now Nora, okay, also this just sounds terrible so far. I'm going to say my favorite two things that I would indulge in, definitely sushi. I'm a huge sushi lover, and I could eat a lot of it and I don't get sick of it. And then, I don't know, sometimes I just need a maple bar. Like,
oh,
like donuts. They're so good.
Yeah, donuts.
but I am also going to add something. I don't cut things out regardless. So I will say that. Like, I'm always going to have those things. Okay. But yeah, I mean, hey, if the calories weren't, I mean, I will indulge. Oh. So.
Yeah, I was thinking, I haven't had a really good, rich, decadent chocolate cake for a while. That would be...
That's true.
Because, you know, they have... I mean, you know those chocolate cakes from Costco? They have like thousands and thousands of calories. You eat one piece and you've had 3,000 calories. The
muffins. You guys, Mom and Dad have been like buying the muffins. And they're always like, take the muffins. We've been eating muffins. Too many muffins.
Yeah, those are high calorie too. But I really like bisque soups that are made with lots of butter and cream. And
yes, so lobster bisque.
Lobster bisque.
When we go back to Quilt Market, we'll go to our favorite spot.
So, yeah, I think rich soups and pastas.
Yeah.
And cakes and pies.
I refuse to cut okay, out pasta. So Billy. Come on, Billy. Oh,
well, Chelsea sort of took one of mine because...
I'm sorry.
I like sushi too, so... Yeah, I can.
But that's not high calorie, is it?
Well, with all the rice, a lot of the rice and a lot of the sauces will definitely turn it into that. If you can do sushi and be pretty healthy too, but you can also go the other way, high on calories. But since you already said that, I'll just say ice cream.
I could eat ice cream. He's always loved ice cream.
Yeah, we actually have some here.
Oh, great. Oh, yeah. So I guess I probably will have some tonight.
Yes. Yeah.
No, I will say that though, Mom, because Billy actually introduced me to one of my favorite sushi spots. And just all the sauces that they put, it's all the toppings, really. Oh, like, and right. It's a lot of rice.
And a lot of sugar probably in the sauces.
So, mm-hmm.
And there's sugar in sushi rice too.
And whenever we go, we get the all you can eat. So it's like you are just eating so much sushi.
Yeah.
Oh, but, that sounds good. I loved that question.
I thought that was a fun question. So, yeah. Borrowed that from one of the listeners at Simple Handmade Everyday Podcast. So, okay. So, we did have a question for Billy, too. We're going to let him just kind of finish up with that.
Okay. Yeah. So, it was, what are you looking forward to doing most with the podcasts this year? So, that's a good question. I do have... some plans. I've sort of mentioned it before about a multi-camera shot for the podcast. So maybe, you know, we'll still keep the shot that we have where we can see all the quilts and everything that my mom and sister show, but also maybe when they're talking individually, maybe it'll help the listeners or viewers sort of feel more into the conversation. I know that's a comment we see sometimes. So right now we just have one camera and I know you guys are talking to each other. So hopefully that'll help a little bit. So I have a little toy that we can do that. And then I know we've mentioned live streams now a couple times and we still are.
We're going to do it.
Yeah. And we mentioned it on the last one. You guys mentioned we'll have a date. So the date is the 24th, right?
Of April 24th.
Yes, for sure.
It's a Saturday.
And it's going to be like a trunk show. And I know this isn't the podcast, but it's going to be a trunk show. We're trying to put that together. And again, my little new toy is going to help us with that. And other than that, I just enjoy it. I like the editing and it's fun. So
yeah,
just keep it moving. We appreciate all the support. It's been growing. And we'll just hopefully it keeps growing and keeps getting better.
Yeah. Thank you. And then did you want to share a review or save those for next time?
Yeah, I can finish up. Review? Yeah, just have a couple so we can finish up the ones from February.
Okay.
And then eventually we'll go back and get some of the older ones. But this one's from Shasta Chick. And she says, the title's My Favorite Podcast. So thank you Thank you for such a fun and inspiring podcast. I love your mother-daughter friendship. I've learned so much from both Sherry and Chelsea and appreciate them sharing their talent and love of quilting.
Oh, that was so nice.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Yeah.
Seriously.
And then we have one from...
Everyone's so nice.
Oh, well, actually, she put her name. It's Ashley at the bottom. So, such a relaxing and informative podcast. I love listening to this one at night or while I'm quilting for extra inspiration. They cover all the best topics from behind the scenes as designers and writers to their favorite new and old tips and tricks. Whether you're a new or seasoned quilter, there's always something interesting to be learned here. Thanks for all your work putting these together. Can't wait to keep hearing more.
Oh, thank you, Ashley. Yes,
thank you so much. These are nice.
We really appreciate them.
We really do.
Like, we really do. Like, sometimes I'm just like, oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Somebody thinks like these really nice things about us. Like, I love that. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Our next episode will be just a week away.
Yes. Because we'll get back on schedule.
Right. We'll get back on the 2. So Monday, April 5th. Actually, are there 3 in April too or no? No. Just 2.
5th. No, just the 2.
And the 19th.
Yes.
So, yeah.
That yay, means... Sean's. We have a family birthday on the 19th.
Yeah.
So, yay.
So, yeah. And we really appreciate all of you for listening and watching on whatever platform and for all the feedback and the questions. And thanks so much for stopping by.